For those of you who may be visiting with us tonight, ever since January 1st, we've been having a weekly devotional reading of 24 chapters of the Bible until we get through Revelation. We're trying to get through the Bible in 1 year. So we had 24 chapters to read each week. Tonight I'm going to be covering Philippians through 2 Timothy. What I plan to do is just give a real short overview of some things about the cities and a little bit about Timothy. And then I thought that we would do well to spend our time on building our faith and holding our faith. Because when I was reading it, and a lot of times I would listen to it at work, the main thing that kept on banging me in the head was holding to your faith. So I thought that's what we would try to do. But first I'm going to do a small overview. As we go through these four books of the Bible, the Apostle Paul wrote all four of them, led by the Holy Spirit. And the first one is Philippians, and the city is called Philippi. It was the first church established on Paul's second missionary journey. After Paul moved to Thessalonica, the Philippian brethren sent support by the way of Epaphroditus, who stayed with Paul for some time. Epaphroditus was very useful in the ministry to Paul, who later became sick unto death, but God healed him. The purpose of the letter was to explain the circumstances that Paul was in and to tell the brethren how useful Epaphroditus was to him, and to thank the brethren for their support and to encourage them in their Christian life. The book of Colossians, the cities of Colossae, Hierapolis, and Laodicea were almost all in view of each other. They were 125 miles southeast of Ephesus. This area was a very rich land in minerals and sold a lot of merchandise. The area had a large population of Jews and Gentiles. Paul never visited Colossae during his 3 years of ministry in Ephesus, but one of Paul's converts in Ephesus, they met each other in Ephesus, and his name was Epaphras, who lived in Colossae. Epaphras took the message of the gospel back home, and through his work, the church was founded. When Paul became a prisoner in Rome, Epaphras visited Paul in prison and reported of the new teachings and the invading that was on the church and the problems that was being faced. The Jewish sect were called Gnostics. They felt that they had a superior knowledge of the things of God. Their doctrine was a strange blend of Christian truth, Jewish legalism, and Greek philosophy. Paul likely sent Onesimus and Epaphras along with, I should have spelt the word, Tychicus, whatever that is. to Colossae with the letters. The letters were sent to refute the heresy and to demonstrate the preeminence of Christ and to confirm how to walk in Christian life. First and Second Thessalonians, the city of Thessalonica was originally called Therma because of the hot springs in the area. About 300 years before Christ, Cassander, king of Macedon, renamed the city in honor of his wife, who was sister to Alexander the Great. In Paul's day, the capital was Macedonia. In Europe, Paul and his companions had gone first to Philippi, where they established the church and were miraculously delivered from jail. And leaving full of zeal, they traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia to Thessalonica. Going first to the Jewish synagogues, Paul won his first converts and met with serious opposition. His ministry in the city lasted less than a month. During that time, he worked as a tent maker, not wishing to burden the brethren with his expenses. And he stayed in the home of Jason while he was organizing the new believers in the church. Later, the Jews brought Paul before the magistrates and had him expelled from the city. He went on to Berea, where he first had success with the gospel, but was again opposed by the Jews, causing riots. Paul barely escaped with his life. He traveled to Athens, where his message was not well taken. And from Athens, he sent Timothy to check on the church in Thessalonica. After all the persecutions and rejections of the gospel, Paul came to Corinth. And when Silas and Timothy returned, they had good news from the church in Macedonia. Paul was greatly encouraged and pressed on with his work. Later, the people of Thessalonica ran into difficulty. Gentiles, and especially Jews, had confusion over the second coming of Christ. Some members worried about believers who had died before his return, and others considered it unnecessary to continue working since Christ would return at any time, and others were sinking back into the immorality of the culture. In 1 and 2 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy, exhorting him to guard against false doctrine and protecting the public worship and developing mature leadership. Timothy's father was a Greek, and his mother was a Jew, and her name was Eunice. Timothy was one of Paul's own converts on his first missionary journey to Lystra. Paul calls him his own son in faith. Timothy became Paul's companion on his second missionary journey. After a time, Timothy was sent to oversee the affairs of the church at Ephesus. And this time was when Paul had wrote to him this epistle. In 2 Timothy, Paul was under house arrest in Rome. And in the spring of 63 A.D., he traveled to Philippi, Ephesus, Colossae, and Laodicea. The great fire in Rome occurred in 64 A.D., and Paul possibly went to Spain in 64 and 65 A.D. In the summer of 66 A.D., he returned to Ephesus and left Timothy in charge in the summer of 67 A.D., who wrote Timothy from Macedonia and probably visited Philippi and Corinth. He went on to Crete and left Titus there. Paul had four purposes in writing to Timothy. One was to exhort Timothy in his ministry in Ephesus, to warn Timothy of the trouble inside and outside the church, and three, to request Timothy to come to Rome to visit him in prison, and bring certain personal effects. And fourth, to instruct all the churches in the area where Timothy taught. Hopefully I didn't put anybody to sleep with that, but... Okay. In 1 Philippians 1, Paul and Timothy hold in remembrance the brethren in Philippi and pray for them. Let me try to get caught up here. In Philippians 1 and verse 8, "For God is my record, how greatly I long for you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment, that you may approve all things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Jesus Christ." In verse 10, it shows that we should not be half-hearted and we should be clean and blameless. In verse 15 and 16, some brethren were preaching the gospel in goodwill and some of selfish ambition, and these people were glad that Paul was in prison and they were puffed up like the Pharisees. There have been times when brethren who have been faithful for many years can have a change in heart for the bad and cause damage and separation in the church. Why else would there be so many different groups and so many different beliefs? God calls us to speak the same thing and to have unity. Let's read verse 27 of chapter 1. "Only let your conversation, as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come or see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." The words "stand firm" or "stand fast" and "striving" show that we have a choice whether to be obedient or to rebel. Let's read chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Paul states their obedience in his presence and also in his absence. If one fears God and respects God, one exercises obedience, not perfection, but striving for it. We cannot earn our salvation through works, but God will not excuse a lazy servant. That is made clear in Matthew 25 in the parable of the talents. And in verse 30, Jesus said, can't hardly read my own writing. "Cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth." If we were instrumental in teaching 10 souls the gospel every day for the rest of our lives, we could not earn our salvation. But God does expect fruit. Let's take a look at Philippians 3 and verse 2. Philippians 3, verse 2. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. These were Jews who believed in Christ but were holding to the old law. Jews believed that Gentiles were dogs, unclean scavengers. Paul calls these Jews dogs because they were not circumcised in the spirit. We must strive to be clean in the spirit to please God. If we return to sin, we can be unclean scavengers. Let's take a Proverbs 26:11 says, as a dog returneth to his own vomit, so the fool returneth to his folly. In 2 Peter chapter 2, 20 and through 22. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog it returneth to his vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3. No, excuse me, I got one out of place here. Before we do that, let's go to Colossians 2 and then verse 8. Colossians 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Paul warns of the beginning of us becoming rotten or unclean due to the Gnostics' warped thinking. We should look to God's word. If men's word does not line up with God's word, we must disregard their doctrines. Jesus said in Matthew 15 and verse 9, but in vain do they worship me, teaching the doctrines and commandments of men. Go to 1 Thessalonians 4:3 now. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Paul addresses the church in Thessalonica to turn away from God. Do not turn away from God. We must control our flesh. Paul told the church at Corinth something similar in 1 Corinthians 6:9. We must control the flesh and walk in righteousness. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of the hope of salvation. We who are of the day have the choice whether to be sober-minded or not. We can put on the armor of God or we can take the armor of God off. where there is no protection from the fiery darts of the devil. Second Thessalonians 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from any brother that walketh disorderly and not after the traditions which he received of us. We must conduct ourselves in a way that becometh saints, or the brethren would have no choice but to withdraw from us, because we would be polluting the church. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Paul exhorts Timothy to stay committed and fight a good warfare. Hold to your faith. Hymenaeus and Alexander had shipwrecked their faith. They were excommunicated from, possibly for teaching the resurrection had already come, and Paul delivered them to Satan, hoping that they would repent and hold to sound doctrine. 1 Timothy 4, 1. 1 Timothy 4, 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the later times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. This tells us that some will depart from the faith, listening to Gnostics and believing in Greek myths. Some believe Roman empires became, emperors became demons when they died and they were prayed to. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. Thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the word of faith and a good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' tales, and exercise yourself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. I read the wrong thing. Sorry about that. Did I say 2 Timothy 4 or did I say 1 Timothy? Yeah. I was reading 1 Timothy. Sorry about that. 2 Timothy 4. 6 through 8. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day, and not to me only, but to all of them that love his appearing. Paul sees the end of his life is near. He is confident of his salvation. He fought hard. He finished the course. He kept the faith. Paul uses the word course in this passage and also uses the word race in 1 Corinthians 9:24. And he also uses something similar to that in Hebrews 12, verse 1. Most of us have heard sermons about this race that we are to finish. We know it is not a 100-yard dash. It is a long race that we must pace ourselves on. This race reminds me of cross country. When I was in high school, I didn't actually run cross country, but during PE, there was a couple of times we actually ran on the course. There are several hills to climb that will zap your energy. The devil can tempt us when we are weak and tired. When we get over the hill, you may think that we can take it easy for a little while. On the downside, there are rocks and roots and pine needles and things such as that that can send us headlong into a thorn bush. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, whether it was the thorn was partial blindness or the Judaizers who were causing all of his grief. We all have thorns in the flesh, weaknesses that the devil knows about, sore spots that the devil likes to push, hoping to make us give in. We must learn from our mistakes, pray and press on, looking for the finish line, determined to finish no matter what. The flesh tries to hold us back in so many ways. Neglect is a big factor. When someone first obeys the gospel, it might be a little bit, in my mind, like owning a brand new car or a classic car. When you first get it, you're very happy and you're very careful, and you may park the car 100 yards away when you go shopping just to keep people from denting it or scratching it up. You're careful to do all the maintenance necessary to keep it tip-top. And over the years, you may lose interest in the car and start to neglect the maintenance. If you are driving on, if you've got a set of tires and they're only made for 50,000 miles and you're trying to get 70,000 miles of them, you're cruising for a disaster. Let's read Hebrews 2, verse 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, whether at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard them? We all need proper maintenance. God's word is the answer for that maintenance. We don't want to hear it, but we're all high maintenance. Thank God that the high price was paid so that we can maintain an eternal relationship with our Father. If we recognize neglect and are willing to confess our sins, He is righteous to forgive, and we can finish the course. I appreciate your attention. Thank you.